Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you would give us the gift of spiritual sight this evening so that we can see Jesus for who he is. Lord, thank you that we have trusted in him and believed in him. And thank you that he is our Savior. But Father, we pray as we go through this book of Revelation and as we also partake of the Lord's Supper that we would see the glory and the power of Jesus to help us become more like him and help us endure in the Christian life. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. This is the second part of the introduction to Revelation. I'm just going to read the first three verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So last week, in summary, what we learned from the book of Revelation is this. Revelation is a book, is a message to God's people showing us heaven's perspective of life, history, and the future. So we always want to see things from our perspective, from Earth's perspective. Revelation changes that up to help us see life, history, the future from heaven's, from God's perspective. Revelation was not written to us. It was written to the seven churches in Asia. But Revelation was preserved for us as God's people so that we may endure. So this evening, we're going to ask, how do I use Revelation? So how do you, as you read through Revelation, how do you use it? What's its purpose? Now, there's a few ways we could begin to trace out the purpose of Revelation, but let's start with this question. Why is John writing this book to his readers? Or why is Jesus, through John, writing this book to the seven churches in Asia? What's the problem he's trying to address? As we read through the letters to the seven churches in chapters 2 to 3, we find two main problems that the churches are facing, and these two problems face us as churches today globally. The first problem is suffering. Notice chapter 2, verse 8. We're going to do a lot of flipping tonight, so we're putting the study back in Bible study, okay? I think it's good. Sunday evening, we can flip pages. We're going to stay in Revelation. So Revelation 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So what are they facing? They're facing persecution, even death. And Jesus is encouraging them as they face suffering. The second problem is affluence. Affluence, however you want to say it. Comfort, security, riches, opulence, whatever word you want to throw in there. Turn to chapter 3, verse 17, the church at Laodicea. And there's a few churches that are kind of, they're not suffering, but they're kind of high on the horse. Because you, 3:17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So what's their problem? They think they're fine. And that would be our problem as the American church in general. As you read through these letters, you can see the danger of suffering. What's the danger of suffering? People are tempted to bail on Jesus because it's hard. It would just be easy to say, no, I don't follow that Jesus guy. I'm going to go worship in the temple. I'll worship the emperor. Everything's okay. You don't have to be put to death. However, you also see the danger of affluence. People drift away from Jesus because they are lulled to sleep by riches, comfort, and security. And that is what's happening to the American church. So you think Revelation is an encouragement to suffering Christians and a wake-up call to those who feel secure. Let's bring it to modern times. So why would you not attend church if you are physically able to, okay? So you're not shut in, you don't have the flu, your car's not broken, so you're able to go to church, but you chose not to. Why would you choose not to? Well, you might be scared that a bomb will rip through your church and kill you. You're like, well, that doesn't happen here. Well, it happened in Sri Lanka on Easter Sunday, and 290 people were killed. I would say, so why didn't you come to church on Sunday? I was scared that I would get blown up. Like, that is not something we deal with generally. But that is a real danger for some Christians today. I don't want to get blown up. I don't want to be killed because they see me in that church building. Now, in our country, you might not attend church because you want to spend a leisurely weekend at the lake. As it's been said before, what keeps Baptists out of church? Bad weather and good weather will keep Baptists out of church. And you know the temptation. Oh, it's nice. We could go do whatever. Both persecution and affluence are a danger to the church. Both can draw people away from Jesus. And that is why Jesus writes Revelation to the seven churches, to help them endure whatever they're facing, whether it be suffering or riches. Now, I want to come and ask, what's the purpose of Revelation again from a different angle, okay? Let's go look at our text in verse 3. I think this is very important to understanding Revelation. It's right here in front of us as we open the book in the first chapter. Verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. That is how you are supposed to use the book of Revelation. There, laid out for you. Probably the blessing is the public speaker who would read the book, okay? Because back then they didn't have multiple copies. So I'm blessed as I read it to you, and you are blessed when you hear it, and we are all blessed when we keep what's in it. Now, you say, well, there's not many direct commands in the book of Revelation. No, there's not. However, there are some key themes that help us know how we are to follow Jesus, okay, in the book of Revelation. Keep it. We're supposed to keep it. The four key themes are endure, conquer, keep, and testify. And we'll see these throughout the book. So let's look at those four key themes. Number one, endure. 1:9. Says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom, and patience, also the word for endurance of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And if you wrote those four words down, you're going to see them repeated in the verses I read, okay? Endure, conquer, keep, and testify. Four times in chapters 2 and 3, Jesus commends the churches for their endurance. But twice in the book, the call to endurance is put right out there for us to see. And Revelation can be hard to understand because you got this symbolism, you got beasts and fire and seals and trumpets, and it gets confusing. But sometimes the book stops and says, here is what you need to do. So when it does that, I'm like, that's clear. Let's take the clear parts and help us understand the parts that are not clear. So flip to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, 9 to 10. Rev- Revelation 13, verse 9. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience or endurance and the faith of the saints. Other translations, this calls for the endurance and the faith of the saints. Or here is a call for the endurance and the faith of the saints. So Revelation is calling us to endure and to trust Jesus through what it does. Now, one chapter over to 14:12, you see something very similar. 14:12, here is the patience or endurance of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Again, other translations will put it this way. This is a call for the endurance of the saints. So when I read Revelation, I know that how I keep it is to endure and to follow Jesus. Now let's go to the second one. You're going to see a theme emerge as we go through these words. Second one is to conquer or overcome, depending on your translation. To every one of the seven churches, Jesus promises something to those who conquer or overcome. Now the Greek word behind conquer or overcome is Nike, which is what the sports company Nike is getting at. So Nike, is the idea behind that is to victory, overcome, conquer. So next time you see the Nike swoosh or see Nike or hear Nike, think about that Christ wants you to overcome. I think it's a helpful reminder. Now let's notice the first two instances of overcome or conquer. Turn back to chapter 2, verse 7. Again, this is for every church, all seven churches, but here's the first two. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes or conquers, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. 2:11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. You would think that with words like conquer and endure and overcome, that these Christians are like in the midst of a war or something like that. And that is one point of Revelation, that we are in a war. In the middle of Revelation, there is another short verse that clues us in to what we are to take away from the book. I'm going to read for you chapter 12, verse 10. Chapter 12, verse 10. Again, another key verse to clue us in to what Revelation is trying to accomplish. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, that's Satan, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives to the death. So that is overcoming, fighting against Satan, even through physical death, to reach heaven. We are in a war against Satan and his foes. How do we overcome? It says very clearly, and we'll, Lord willing, get to this verse later in our series, through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That means that our power to overcome Satan, the world, evil, comes through trusting in Christ's work for us. Not the testimony of how you got saved, but the word of our testimony is the gospel, what you believe to get saved. So that's how we overcome, not by our strength, but trusting in Jesus' power and his work for us and proclaiming the gospel even to death. So yes, we are in a war. So endure, conquer, and then number three, keep. Now last Sunday morning, if you were here, we talked about keeping or guarding God's commandments in Psalm 119. Now, this keep here in Revelation is the same idea, guarding God's words. Let's go back to chapter 1 again and read verse 3. Again, this is a very key verse. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now let's move on to chapter 2, and we see some of these key themes in verse 26. 2:26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Notice 3:10 as well. 3:10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now I want to kind of, I think our flipping is over after this, all the way to the end of the book, chapter 22. Now I read verse 3 like 5 times already, so you get the idea. Reading it, hearing it, and keeping what's in this book. Now again, that's the theme throughout this book, because we end in chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and your brother and the prophets. Then, key, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. So, who is a Christian? I love this definition of Christian. Those who keep the words of this book. That's how you kind of distinguish a follower of Jesus. A Christian is one who keeps God's word, one who endures, overcomes the devil, and obeys the commands of Jesus. So, last theme, and we'll look at this theme a little bit later in depth, but here's a quick overview. Testify or witness. Same Greek word, whatever your translation has. Sometimes your translation will have both. Witness or testify. So Jesus bore witness to the truth, and what happened to him? Killed. Crucified. John, our author, bore witness to the truth. What happened to him? Exiled to the island of Patmos. And some who read the letter would bear witness to Jesus and be killed for their faith, or at least persecuted. The word testify or witness in Greek is martus, which we get martyr from. Now, when the early New Testament was written, martus just meant someone who would testify to something, say, well, I saw the accident, officer, and that person, this black car ran over this person. That's my testimony, okay? Just mean bearing witness to something. However, when we get to Revelation, the word is changing meaning to someone who bears witness and gives their life for something. So I love how that those two go together to help us understand what we are supposed to do as Christians, to bear witness even unto death. Again, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Okay, there's testimony again. So in Revelation, Christians are called to bear witness to Christ even to the cost of their lives. Now, Revelation is no game. This is serious. Sometimes we treat Revelation like a game, and that's why I don't think we get much out of it. We're not desperate to endure. We get out the game, we get out the board, we get out the pieces, and we get out the instruction manual, and we sit around in a circle and debate the instruction manual. That's how I think we treat Revelation here as American Christians. We're like, well, I think, you know, those locusts that fly in Revelation 9 are really Apache helicopters that the author has in view. Or, I wonder if the Antichrist will come from China. Again, not bad questions, but not the point of Revelation. My hope is that we will not sit around and debate the instruction manual, but we will play the game. Play the game. We're in the game. That we would use Revelation to endure suffering, battle against Satan, and to testify to the truth about Jesus Christ. In one word, Overcome. Revelation will make a lot more sense to someone who wants to endure than to someone who wants to debate how the moon will turn to blood. So get in the game. But it's no game. So two motivations for endurance. So the purpose of Revelation is that we would overcome, endure, we would keep the commands of God. So how does Revelation achieve that goal? How does John write? How does Jesus write to help us endure? And the first one is the revelation of Jesus Christ in his power. And this is very important how the book begins. We get to chapter 1 after the introduction. What's the first thing that happens? John sees this terrifying, overwhelming vision of Jesus Christ in his glory. This knocks him to his feet like he was dead. And then, right after the letters to the seven churches, chapters 4 and 5, give us a view of what's happening in heaven. Chapter 4, honoring God the Father on the throne. And then, chapter 5, unveiling Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain, and his power and his sacrifice. So, how does Revelation help us endure? It helps us endure by giving us a vision of the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants us to see his glory through Revelation and worship him so that we may endure. Now, suffering has a way of reducing your world just to you and your misery. Now, I remember last summer laying around in misery with my Lyme disease, and I couldn't think of anything besides myself and my suffering. And maybe you've been there. What I needed and what every suffering Christian needs is a view of something bigger than ourselves. And that's what Revelation does. Look at the power and the plan of Jesus for the universe. The same goes for affluent, rich, comfortable Christians. It's easy to be caught up in houses, parties, vacations, shopping, and retirement. Revelation rocks us out of our slumber and shows us that, you know what? We're in a battle against Satan, and all this that we're spending our time in is going to be burned up. So what is our focus going to be? So how do we endure? We endure by looking to the power and glory of Jesus. Secondly, how do we endure? It's the revelation of the great battle. The second way Revelation helps us to endure is to show us the great battle we are in. So we are at war with Satan, striving to overcome him and reach heaven. So chapter 6 and onward, we see the fate of Satan, striving to overcome him and to reach heaven. We see the fate of Satan and his followers. So what Revelation does, and this is what all apocalyptic literature does, is to divide the world into two sides. Now, frankly, we like to do this. It's the good guys versus the bad guys. And then you grow up and say, well, there's some gray areas. You know, some person might be good and also might also be bad. But Revelation says stop. There are actually good and bad in this world. And one day, evil will be defeated. I think that's what Revelation does, is to show us that there are two sides and what those sides actually are. It's not political parties. It's not governments. But it's Satan against the Lamb and his followers. So the outcome is clear. So Satan and his followers go to the lake of fire while the Lamb invites his followers into an eternity on a perfect earth. So for persecuted Christians, they need to know that their persecutors are followers of Satan. Let's stop there. So if you're being persecuted for Christ, those who are persecuting you are following Satan, and God will take care of them. You kind of need that assurance when you're in the midst of persecution. Now, for affluent Christians, we need to wake up and realize that we are in a battle. It's so easy to get comfortable. This is no game. Eternity is at stake. What is Revelation? What's the purpose of Revelation? That we would endure. that we would overcome, that we would keep God's commandments and testify to the gospel. So, dear friends, I want us to use Revelation well. Yes, there will be details we don't understand, but Revelation was written for us so that we may endure. So let us worship Jesus and overcome. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your word, and I pray that we would be serious about this book. And I pray that you would reveal Jesus to us, that you would show us the great battle that is happening, so that we may wake up, so that we may overcome. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.